So I was a long distance runner back in high school. For whatever reason, somewhere around my sophomore or my junior year of high school, I got into running. It was probably coinciding with the fact that my parents had gotten divorced a few years earlier. And I had been living with my mom from when I was maybe 14 until I was 16, after my parents got divorced. And when I was 16, I made a decision to move in with my dad, who lived about 5 hours away from where I had lived at that point. I was in Sioux Falls, and then I moved to around Minneapolis. And my dad was getting remarried, and our families were integrating. And I was in this new strange environment my junior year, going into my junior year of high school. And it was a strange place. And there was something about running long distances and just kind of like escaping into my own mind for hours on end that was very therapeutic, and it was very helpful for me at that period of time. Maybe it was because I was kind of a loner. I didn't have any friends, and I was also very introverted. So like the idea of going out and making friends was so stressful to me. And so I just kind of poured myself and became hyper obsessed with running. And that became my thing. My junior year, my senior year, I was the best runners on the team by my senior year. Good enough to that I was able to go and run in college. And in college, I wasn't great by any means. It was a Division II. I ran cross country and track, did the steeplechase. I was okay. I was never going to be a world beater, but I was obsessed with running. I was obsessed with running culture. I was reading everything I could, and like I was hunting all of the running forums. I was just a nerd for it. And at that time, when I was graduating high school, this would have been around 2002, this was a very good time to be a high school running nerd, because there were these three athletes in particular who were dominating the sport in very interesting, different ways. You had Dathan Ritzenheim out of Michigan. Actually, he was from Rockford, Michigan, and I was from Rockford, Minnesota. And so I always felt like this kinship with Dathan. And he was this great long distance runner who had this ability to dig really deep and grind and like break people's wills. And he was like this wiry little guy. He didn't have great top end speed, but like he could grind it out. He went on to have a very incredible career. I think he broke the American record at the 5,000 and the 10,000, not the 10,000, but the 5,000 at one point. I might be misremembering that, but I think he did. I think he was like the second American to break the 13 minute barriers in the 5K. So went on to have a very amazing career. I really liked him a lot. He was dominant in cross country and in like the 2 mile. The other guy and part of this big three that people would talk about was this guy named Alan Webb. Alan Webb was more like built like a brick shit house, just muscular for a long distance runner. And he was more of a mid distance guy. He was like the 800 meter to mile specialist, but he had range and he could reach up and race these 5Ks in cross country. And he could do the longer races, you know, and that made for a really compelling matchup between his speed and strength versus Dathan's strength and endurance when they met at 5K. And Alan Webb, if you're familiar, in 2002, he broke the high school record in the mile, which was Jim Ryan's record from like the 60s. It was a really long standing record on the books. He ran a 3:53, which is a mind boggling time. The American record up to that point had been 3:55. So he shaved off 2 seconds. Nobody had even gotten remotely close to 3:55. And he just comes out and goes, bam, 3:53. So those two are very interesting. Alan Webb goes on to have an amazing career. I think he's still the current American record holder in the mile at like 3:47. Yeah, something like that. He had a great career as well. The third guy in this matchup and part of this big three was a guy by the name of Ryan Hall. He's out of California, Big Bear, California. And he was good. He was great. He wasn't quite as good as Dathan and Alan, though, in cross country or on the track. And so he was always just coming up a little bit behind them. It was really like, is Dathan or Alan going to win? And Ryan would be right there. And then it'd be a big gap between them and everybody else. So he's in this big three, very great runner for that generation. But he was always just a tick below, even through college. It's always just a little bit below. Hey, what's up, guys? Real quick, I've been working really hard to amplify my social media presence recently. And recently just started diving into Instagram, which has actually been a ton of fun. It's a cool platform for connecting with y'all in just a more personal way. So if we aren't already connected on Instagram, let's change that. You can find me at TheAnthonyVecino. So go connect. Let's do it. All right, let's get to the show. And then something happened. It was probably around 2005 or six. He's out of college or coming out of college. And in college, you know, you run long distance cross country, which is like a 10K or a 12K. And then you go and you run the 10K on the track. That's about the longest race that there is. Well, he gets out of college and he realizes he's not going to ever be the best miler, the best 5K or best 10K. And he's reached kind of his limit there. And so he goes to the road races and he starts racing these longer things. Starts doing the marathon, starts doing the half marathon. And just like that, this guy rises to these astronomical levels, these atmospheric levels, where suddenly he has found his calling and he is dominating. He breaks the American record in the half marathon. He breaks the American record in the marathon. He's at this point in his career, he's having more success. If you were to compare them, Alan Dathan, Ryan, you would say Ryan is probably now at this point, because the marathon is such a popular event and so established, it's probably between him and Alan, because Alan is running the mile and that's also a very popular event. But like, Ryan is achieving things at a level that's probably more impressive than either of those two. So he's kind of a late bloomer to this. Well, he grinds and he grinds and he destroys his body over the next decade. I mean, running long distance is very hard on the body. Well, he just grinds his body to a pulp. He's like 5'10", maybe 6 foot, and he's like 135 pounds, very skinny, slender guy. And he's killing his testosterone levels in his body, like in the mid 20-aughts. So around 2015, he's just sliding. He's not coming back and his body is just breaking down on him. So he retires in like 2016, 2017. And Ryan then gets into bodybuilding, not bodybuilding for like shows, but just like lifting weights, which is a very funny activity because he was so weak as a runner. You look at him, just this frail, slender body, and he would start going into the gyms and lifting, and he could barely like bench press his own body weight and like all these things. And fast forward 5, 6, 7 years, to see a picture of Ryan next to who he was as a runner is night and day difference. He is a jacked giant of a human now. And the thing is, a lot of people, I shared a picture of him the other day on social media, and a lot of people took to the comments and they're like, oh, he's definitely juicing. He's taking steroids and gear. And this blew my mind for a couple of reasons I want to share with you. First, a guy like Ryan is a genetic freak. To reach the pinnacle of any sport, you kind of have to be, right? Number two, Ryan Hall has a work ethic that the average human simply cannot comprehend. And again, to be at the top of a sport like running, to be an Olympian, to be an American record holder, you kind of have to be, right? So you combine those two traits and you get mind-boggling results, like that transformation from the 130-pound weakling to the 220-pound jacked Adonis that he is today. Now, I don't know if Ryan Hall is juicing or if he's on testosterone replacement therapy. I don't know. I don't really care. He's never admitted to it. And I don't think he does, honestly, but it doesn't matter. Cause here's why here's why I want to share this with you today. It's very interesting. It's very easy to see people who are at the top of the mountain, whether it's in business, it's finance, it's health, it's relationships. And you can assume that they're cheating. It's very easy to say, oh, they got up there because they cheated. They had it handed to them. Right. And hell, maybe in a lot of cases, you're right. But that sort of mindset, that easy dismissiveness of greatness, is the product of a small mind. It's the result of that mindset that gives you quiet permission to accept mediocrity. I encourage you to be better than that. Fight that most human of urge, which reflexively discounts the accomplishments of others in a pursuit of protecting our own ego. When you look at greatness, I hope that you are challenged and inspired. And instead of looking for reasons to tear them down, you look for reasons to be motivated. And when you someday find yourself atop that mountain and small minds are trying to tear you down from below, just remember these words from Emerson. He said, "To be great is to be misunderstood." To be great is to be misunderstood. So I wanted to share that with you guys. Hopefully this brings you a little bit of value. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for being here. We'll catch you in the next episode. But until then, stay hyper-focused, my friend.